This is Third Act Saviors, a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then fix it by only changing the third act. I'm Michael.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Fireman Jacob. And
ding, 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 ding-a-ling, ding, ding.
Oh, it's the old fire bell.
Arf, arf.
Tweet, 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 tweet-lee-dee-lee-dee.
Oh my god, we got a fire cat and a bird and a dog. Oh no, that wasn't a cat, that was a siren.
No, the siren's broken, we had to use a cat.
Woof, woof. I'm a fireman.
Oh, man, I hope you're here to put out a fire.
Oh, contraire.
Uh-oh.
We're here to start. We're here to kick a tire and light a fire.
Oh, that's ironic.
Yep.
What are you going to burn, though, Daniel?
You'd think that I would burn houses.
Because you're a
people.
Ah, the opposite of a fired man.
Yes. No, I do. I burn the opposite of houses and people, which is books and art.
And birds.
Oh, no.
And birds. Spoiler alert.
We watched a movie based on a book that you might have had to read in high school.
I read it electively. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I was told to read it in high school.
Mm-hmm. How'd you do?
But then did not read it.
That's very ironic.
Michael's trying to take off his new glasses while he's wearing headphones.
I wanted to be didn't cool work. Like Giles and Buffy and didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Crack! Punctuate your senses by breaking your glasses.
I bought the insurance. We're good.
Oh, smash those fuckers.
When you get up to the end of your year-long contract, just smash them. Get a new pair.
Yeah.
It was Fahrenheit 451.
Oh, yeah.
That's the movie we watched.
This is our special premium episode, only for HBO subscribers.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. This is a Michael B. Jordan joint and a Michael Shannon joint.
Michael B. Shannon. Nice. Michael B. over the candlestick.
This movie was so good they needed two Michaels in it.
Yep.
The 451st in the series of Fahrenheit movies.
Oh, hey. Man, I've been watching these for years. Remember that first one when Samuel L. Jackson came out and he's like, I want you to join my fireman team.
Looks like you'd be good at going up and down a pole. Not in a sexual way.
Hey, see you next time, folks. Third Act Saviors.
This is a movie about books and how bad they are and how we want to burn them.
Yeah, those dastardly book readers got away with it. Ah, we'll get you in Fahrenheit 452.
What a sad ending where books are
where
good.
Books win.
God damn it. Someday we'll get those books.
It's the final test between books v. fire. Books win.
If I wanted books to win, I'd read a book. But I'm watching HBO, so clearly I don't want books to win.
Yeah, that's right. Movies is good. Books is bad.
Yeah.
Birds is good.
Birds is good.
Birds is good. As long as they're not books.
A cassette tape with jazz on it. It's good.
Taxi Driver. Pretty good.
Emojis. Bad.
Bad emojis.
Bad emojis.
The ringer on an old style telephone. Good question mark? He has it.
Good.
Bad?
Yeah, he has it in his collection of stuff.
Some sort of weird Nest camera that's also Alexa?
Oh, yeah.
Yooksie.
Man, we're going all out of order.
Heck
Jacob,
yeah.
This was your selection.
It was my selection.
Are you going to break it down for us?
Yeah. So this is an HBO-produced movie on HBO, produced by Michael B. Jordan and maybe Michael Shannon as well. Karen and I were very excited to see it as big Michael B. Jordan heads, and we're very disappointed at how dumb and bad it is.
It's very dumb and bad.
Oh, yeah.
The acting in it, though, is pretty spot on.
Yeah, and
everyone,
it looks cool.
Everyone does a very good job, and it looks very nice.
The production quality is great.
I was not into the images in this movie.
Okay, that's fair.
It was a lot of industrial, modern, at night, blue and orange and pink neon.
Gotham City.
And
yeah,
a bunch of images projected in air quotes onto buildings, which is just they rendered these movies onto volumetric rectangles.
Stay vivid on the nine.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt very cheap sci-fi. Sorry.
So this is also probably the movie we've watched that's probably the closest to release, because I think this only came out last week.
Yeah.
We did it.
Hot off the presses.
Yeah. So everybody run out to your local HBO and watch this or don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Just get your roommate's HBO Go password. Log in there. avoid those Game of Thrones spoilers. I mean, I know they're there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
no. There's a dragon now.
Hey, speaking of HBO, who's following Westworld this season?
Ooh.
Confusing.
Yeah.
I haven't watched season one of Westworld.
Oh, season one's real good. Season mm-hmm. two is Daniel's nap time.
Yep.
My designated nap time each week.
I fell behind on watching the episodes because I was very confused and bored.
Yeah.
I just don't. I've stopped watching television week to week. If I can't,
just reading books all day. This movie must have spoke to you.
If I can't watch 10 at a time, what the fuck am I even doing? Is what I'm saying.
Old binge watcher from we call him.
I watch TV once a week, and I watch it for the whole day.
That's why we call Mike Osama binge watching.
We got him. We got him.
We call it all the time.
We got him. Whew.
Party in the USA.
But yeah, that's why I don't watch any of those things. Well, also, I've never had HBO because I only have TV.
It's not TV.
And it's not TV.
Okay.
It's DiGiorno.
It's books.
We open. It's the future. And also, there are quotes from books on it.
Oh, man. There's two quotes about how happiness is good and order is also happiness or something like that.
We get a quick montage of books being burned, but also records being burned and tapes.
And paintings.
And paintings. They're all being burned. Even ones in foreign languages.
My memes, my YouTube videos, everything burned.
I was getting pumped for some Gunkata at this point.
Yeah, right?
All my Equilibrium fans out there know what I'm talking about, which is exactly this movie.
Yeah.
It's this movie, but actually better.
Yeah.
It's weird how much better Equilibrium is.
Equilibrium is a ripoff of Fahrenheit 51, the book, and this is a ripoff of Equilibrium.
Yeah. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it like Equilibrium did it.
I guess you have to. Every other one is good.
Yeah, zero faces sliced off in Fahrenheit 451.
There was zero Michael B. Jordan standing in a circle of men with guns pointed at him, and then doing like air traffic controller moves and killing them all.
Yeah, I mean, he barely burns anybody.
Yeah. He doesn't even have, like, a weighted gun clip that he can do a little tumble onto to reload his gun. Who remembers that?
I remember that. Did he have to place that ahead of time?
Yeah, he just slid it out into the center of the hallway and was like, and I'm going to do a cool little roll there. And when I do, more bullets.
I also feel like there's a scene where they try to make Christian Bale kill a puppy. And
yep.
Oh, yeah.
Kill Bernese Mountain Dog.
Oh, no, not the puppy.
And so he, in order to not kill a puppy, has to kill like 40 dudes.
And he does.
A true man of ethics.
That's right.
It's a real John Wick situation.
It's the trolley problem. On one train track is a single dog, and on the other train track is 40 guys.
Are they just weird dudes in black sunglasses? They'll kill them.
Yeah,
cares?
They're fine. They're bad guys, just like he is. Mm-hmm. Michael B. Jordan sits alone in a darkened apartment. He pulls from a special container a single match, and then he lights it.
Yeah, okay, so he's got a single, like, cigarette case.
Yeah.
With a salamander on it.
And the inside is, like, a molded, like, bottom where you would like stick something in, like mm-hmm. a very fancy briefcase that you'd carry a gun in, right? Like it's all this molded area for all of your accessories. The only thing in there though is a single match.
That's right.
One match.
Yeah.
Does he replace the match every time he uses it?
Well, he's also not doing anything in that scene. He lights the match and then we just cut to later.
I mean, like fire is kind of like guns in this movie. So, you know, he's really into fire safety. And that includes keeping everything in a proper locked container.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like your
fair.
Transponders.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want like one of your kids to get into that match.
Yes.
Or that book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, this movie, I'm just going to warn the listener ahead of time. This movie throws a lot of concepts, some of which pay off and some of which don't. So this may sound a little scattered at the start. Don't worry, it'll all come together by the end.
Yeah.
We go to the fire station where our hero, Michael B. Jordan, playing the fireman... Captain, I think.
He's the fire booster.
He's master captain.
He's master booster chief.
Guy Montag.
Yeah, master officer or something.
But his name is actually Guy Montag.
Yes.
He's having a pre-fireman day boxing match with his boss, Captain Beatty, played by Michael Shannon.
Who Beatty's a tooth right out of his head.
That's right. Known for beating.
Ooh.
They fight each other, but they also are friends. cut to it's a school now, and they're talking to the students about the world in which they live.
Oh, yeah. It's a bunch of little kids all in, like, maroon pajamas.
Yeah.
It's a DARE meeting, and they're saying, it's the future now. Books are bad. Stuff is bad. There's the bad guys are called eels, which the movie never explicitly says, but it's probably short for illegals. Because it's the eels and the natives. And they're saying, well, the eels want to share books, but actually all books are available on the Nine.
Yeah, there's books there. What are the books, Daniel?
Moby Dick, Bible, To the Lighthouse.
Those are the three.
What is To the Lighthouse?
I don't know.
It's a famous book. I don't know. And he shows them. They are now condensed versions made of emojis, mostly.
And the Nine is the internet.
Yes. He says books are really bad. We got to burn all the books and everything else, but the internet's good.
They do a cool thing where they let the kids see a book in real life. You know, like I think when I was in DARE growing up, they passed around a joint for us to look at, like in a locked Petri dish.
Yeah.
Just so we could know, like... so we could be educated about what weed looks like.
It looks like a cigarette, but different.
It's kind of a lumpy cigarette.
Yeah, there's just mealworms in here.
Do you think that in DARE, when they did that, that was actually had marijuana in it, or did they just fill it with, like, shredded newspaper?
Or oregano.
I bet it was. I mean, like, cops showed up for DARE.
That's true.
Can you imagine being the DARE cop?
Yeah, what a sad life that would be. the kids are really excited. Guy Montag has his partner hold up two books above his head, and he does some trick flamethrowering with his flamethrower gun to burn those books.
It's a real William Tell.
Yeah, because when you're going house to house burning property, you need a precision flamethrower and the skills to use it.
Everybody cheers. They love it. The kids love books being burned. They boo the books when the books show up.
Yeah, I was right there with them. Boo.
Boo.
Teachers suck. Burn them. School sucks. Burn this whole thing. I'm ready to work.
I'm ready.
I don't have kids and shit.
Uh-oh, book alert. Everybody get on the fire truck. There's a book a-burning happening.
We got a book club.
We heard there's books out here. So they drive to where some natives are actually eels. They've got a bunch of, quote, graffiti in their house.
But this is the first time we see that in this version, the graffiti might not be on pen and paper.
No.
It could just be like a loading bar like you would see in any time a hacker downloads something.
Mm-hmm.
And then above it is just the titles of books.
As they're uploaded.
Those should upload much faster.
Yeah.
Much faster.
They're like 58 kilobytes each.
Yeah. And also, they uploaded like a lot of them before he took an axe to them. And so I'm like, mission failed?
Right.
What are they uploading them to? They're like in-house files?
We gotta upload these books. Done. We got it.
Michael, you know what they were uploaded to.
The cloud, I assume.
A bird.
It's all connecting.
You'll find out later.
You'll find out what word is the bird in a little bit. They get there, and there's, like Michael explained, a lot of the eels going, we gotta upload these faster, press the enter bar, quick. Oh, there we go, we gotta stall them. The firemen come up and punch everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the hackers / book lovers pulls a knife on Guy Montag. Guy Montag's like, oh yeah, let's do this. Let's tangle, buddy.
And it's so they set it up real early that Michael B. Jordan is cut and fucking rocks at fighting people.
Yes, as all firemen must be.
And all of the eels, because they love books, are inherently like, you know, your college professor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their
children.
Your college English professor who's like, oh, hello, come in. We're talking about Aristophanes. Would you like some tea?
It's perfectly okay that you're late.
Quick, let's beat up Michael B. Jordan.
We got him. I've got my knife here. Hold on.
Sink.
Sir, you have taken the patch right off of my elbow.
Right off of my suit jacket elbow.
Here comes the knife. I'm going to get you now.
Oh, my spectacles.
You've punched the hound's tooth right off my jacket.
Michael B. Jordan discovers there's a computer in this closet. We better take it out. So he smashes him with an axe.
Mm-hmm.
Then they collect all the smash bits and take it outside and throw it in the yard. And then this is when we first see that everything the firemen do is recorded and
live streamed
onto the sides of buildings in the future. There is the only good gag here, which is that the live streams have the Facebook Live thing where emojis are just floating across,
yeah,
and comments are popping up.
And apparently all the firemen are like superstars, like famous people.
Especially Guy Montag.
Yeah.
People love Guy.
Little comments pop at saying, like, hurt you, Guy Montag.
And this is where I could tell it wasn't real, because there was zero eggplants, or yeah, there was zero.
Guy Montag walks on screen and the eggplants.
Eggplants. There'd be eggplants all over the place.
A little sweat emoji.
Yeah, I wonder if it's if Guy like ever takes a vacation, if it's like HQ whenever Scott's not on.
dilly dilly.
Who the hell is this guy?
Get Fireman Douglas. Fuck Douglas.
Get Guy back on here. Guy.
Yeah, that's how you know this isn't realistic, because later when Douglas dies, there aren't a bunch of people being like, oh, thank God. Finally hated that guy. They throw all the computer bits in the yard. Guy Montag showboats a little bit and then burns it all, and everyone goes, woo! Mm-hmm. There's drones flying around recording everything.
They also do a thing to the guy who drew a knife on him, and we don't see it happen to any of the other eels.
Oh, yeah, they make him an eel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't see it happen to anyone else. They put a Thanos gauntlet on his fingers, and somehow that makes his life worse.
It burns his fingies.
Yeah, it takes his identity away.
So he can no longer use what I'm assuming is Yuxi, the public camera service.
Yeah, he has to log into his iPhone by typing in a code. He can't just use the Touch ID thing.
Oh, shit.
No! Okay. Hey, they show that. They have him immediately put his thumb to show that he can't log in anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Delete it
now. Yep.
The movie is extremely ambiguous about what it means to be an eel. It's just bad, and everybody who's an eel lives in squalor. Except for that one lady. She's doing great.
Yeah, except for all of the eels at the end.
They're doing great.
Yeah. So, from what I can tell, the only thing it does is it doesn't let you access whatever government network there is, which is the Yuxi.
Yeah.
Which probably means you can't...
Can't order...
You can't do things.
Sure.
I get it. Like, you can't do things, but you could just leave the city and then
make new city.
You could start digging and then planting things.
Well, their movie,
or like making ropes and catching rabbits in them.
The movie also has a real big hole as well.
Or like stealing things.
Mm.
In that it never establishes, like, in the world of this movie, there is literally only one crime, which is sharing books and information. So it's not clear, like, if you were just like a murderer, but you didn't read books, do you become an eel? Because there's only one enforcement agency, and all they do is drive around burning books all day.
Well, so someone commits a crime later on, and no one seems to do anything about it.
Right.
And the way that he is punished for it is that he's put in an elaborate, confusing trap, which he just is able to run away from.
Right.
Like, no cops ever show up.
I don't remember how this is dealt with in the book, but I assume in the book they're like, these guys, the firemen, burn books. Also, the rest of society still exists. It's not just about books.
Yeah, there's police officers who only commit crimes. There's milkmen who lactate.
Yeah.
There's plumbers.
There's doctors who make everyone sick.
Yeah, there's plumbers that poop in your toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Mailmen who write you letters, I guess, but they don't deliver them.
The military, they like never fight.
They hug each other.
Yeah.
They only hold peace rallies.
There's the butcher that steals the meat from your fridge and then makes cows out of them.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
The weatherman is, just the face that's on the sun that wears sunglasses.
Oh, like,
he pours raisins into your cereal. Every
morning. Yes. The weatherman.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very mixed up time where bad things are good and birds are books. Let's see. They burn the computers. Then everybody celebrates. Guy hangs out with Beatty, and Beatty goes, I just got the news. I'm getting promoted to commissioner, and then I'm putting you in promoted to be captain because we both love to burn, and we're both burn bros.
Mm.
And you're like a son to me, burn bro.
I've raised you for 16 years, and I touch you a lot.
Don't worry, I touch everyone a lot. He says, go put your fireman gun away in your fireman outfit, but we've got some after-hours fire business to attend to.
I was 100% sure that there's this extended montage or like sequence where Michael B. Jordan goes down to the arms locker to like hang up his fire gun,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't talk the entire time. And I was like, there's some like swap where someone's going to use his gun to do a crime,
right.
and he's going to get pegged for it, and that's why we're seeing this. No, nope. Nothing.
It's just establishing where the evidence locker is later.
Yeah.
For no reason.
They just want us to know how the requisition systems work at
right.
Fire Central.
Oh, well, yeah. There is no sign in or sign out.
You just
come
walk
and get
in
whatever
and
you want.
It's take a penny, leave a penny style. The honor system. So he goes with Beatty. They go to a virtual reality club.
Oh, yeah.
To meet his informant, Clarice. She tells him, or he hustles her for some information, and she's like, "Have all the tips I've given you, you should have knocked all the time off my sentence and made me a citizen again." And he's like, "No.
Give me my fingerprints back."
Yeah, that's the conversation.
Tattoo him back on there.
No, he says. 6 months, maybe, if this tip was good.
It pans out. Michael B. Jordan watches from a distance, and then as Clarice is leaving, he kind of hassles her a little bit, and she's like, "You just do whatever Beatty says, asshole."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the entirety of it. It's their meet cute.
It was pretty cute.
The virtual reality club is awesome. It's a very posh warehouse in blue light where people are just sitting on couches with Oculus Rifts on their faces, not talking to each other. This movie's got some things to say.
That's right.
Yeah, about how much fun that would be.
No, yeah. I actually went to a thing that was very similar to that recently.
Was it all pornography?
Oh, yeah. It was the gentleman jerk-off VR get-together.
Oh, all my friends are here.
Yeah. Oh, hey, it's old Craig. What's up,
oh,
Chester?
Oh, the GJOVRTG.
Okay. Yep.
Gentlemen jerk off VR to get together.
Every Thursday at the old closed down swimming pool in Lake City.
You have to say the password though. Omnis. The guy and Beatty go bust up a shoe store.
It's like a tailor.
After-hours tailor.
And then behind a fake mirror, there's a warehouse where they're just recording an old man being like, "In the old days of 2002, reporters wrote news."
Oh, yeah.
Ah, burn him.
There were whole websites about dancing hamsters.
Oh, this is when they get their shots in on the current state of the news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, everyone didn't even read the articles. They just skimmed the automatically written headlines, and that led to the Civil War II.
It's bad
now. Electric Boogaloo.
This whole situation makes no sense. They are recording onto a physical videotape an old man talking. Then Beatty tells Guy, play back what he just recorded, and it's a Skippy video of like little bits shown on an old-timey television.
Yeah.
Does this go on the internet? What happens to the tape?
They're just recording the thoughts for historians.
Yeah.
Because the destruction of all knowledge means that 20 years from now, no one knows nothing about 20 years before.
Mm-hmm.
This is the, what's it called? That thing with the language. The Rosetta Stone.
Newspeak. Oh.
It's the newspeak.
250 character limit.
Yeah.
Beatty and the old man have a little tete-a-tete. Beatty's like, Benjamin Franklin was actually not about setting books on fire. And
no,
shut up.
Benjamin Franklin started the fireman, and he said books are bad and they must be burned.
Yep.
Headlines are made by algorithms. And Beatty says, in the Second Civil War, 8 million people died, including my father. That's why I hate books so much.
Your father must have been old enough to remember when Uber drivers would deliver Chinese food right to your door.
That never happened.
My father wrote articles for the biggest news joint in town, BuzzFeed. Shining a light in the darkness.
That's right, I'm Zachariah BuzzFeed.
I still have one of his articles. 10 cute kittens and the fun things they're doing to their socks.
Number 6 will shock you.
What this grandson did will leave you in tears. Okay, so then he comes out of the car and his dad's there in an army uniform.
Don't read this one at work, folks, unless you don't mind crying in front of your boss.
Which divergent class or whatever are you?
I'm Excelsior.
I'm the smart one.
Remember that, kids. We need to keep our culture. We see a bunch of flashbacks throughout the movie, but starting now, of Guy Montag as a little boy going to visit his pappy, who at the beginning is just sitting there at a desk.
With a book, though.
Eventually with a book. And then later with a book he's trying to share with him. And then later getting beaten up and having all his books burned.
To be fair, though, there's no reason for him to be sitting at a desk if he wasn't reading or writing.
That's why. What's a raven like a writing desk or whatever?
I'm just saying, you got to follow these things to the end. You ban books, suddenly who's got desks anymore? Ain't no reason for desks.
You got a yoga mat or something in that room.
Yeah. He should have done what I like to do, which is make the old bed fort, kick a leg up in the air. That's your tent pole. Now you've got your little private reading chamber.
That's right.
Just you and your farts.
Let's see. What else we got going on in this movie? Oh, they mentioned early on, everybody has to take special drug eye drops.
Mm-hmm.
Also, nobody has their memories, but sometimes they do.
Yeah. And Uxie monitors what you do all day. It's a little camera in all the rooms, and you can say, Uxie, go dark, but it still watches you.
It's a goddamn Xbox One is what it is.
Yeah, you find ghosts in there.
It's the Kinect being like, would you like to play more Xbox sports games?
Yes.
No, Uxie.
Uxie totally narcs on itself, because Michael B. Jordan has his little, like, collection of goodies that he keeps in a vent. It's a bunch of, like, Altoids tins and postcards. They never really explain why he's doing this, but you know.
What was that Blockbuster video?
Taxi Driver.
Yeah. But he's eventually he gets his hands on a book. Oh, I'm jumping ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll get there very soon.
Yeah.
But I believe this is where we see some of this stuff, because he steals the old man's videotape.
Yeah.
He puts it into his collection.
It's like a mini DV tape.
Yeah.
Like, that's
nobody can use that.
I mean, I can't use that now.
I don't know how I could use that if I found it.
Like, literally, my old roommate Kevin and I, we found all of our old mini DV tapes from college, and we were like, we should edit these together. And then we were like, I don't want to have to find the equipment to do that shit.
You even need
burn it.
The camcorder or the adapter VCR tape, which are all impossible to find.
Yeah. Burn these inconvenient tapes, I say.
Yeah. Ooh, cool. A Sony mini disc.
It's FireWire.
We see Beatty. He also goes home and tells Uxie to go dark, but he's smart and puts like his lamp on top of Uxie's camera.
Yeah.
And then he goes to a secret vault and pulls out, what's this? A pen.
Ah!
And then he gets a bunch of cigarette papers and starts writing single lines, famous lines from books.
Are they all from books?
I think so.
Okay.
I did not recognize them, but my smarter fiancé recognized all of them.
They're all like, consciousness is a dagger in your eyeball.
Yeah. He's writing them down.
It's classic. That's classic James Joyce right there, Daniel.
Looking at the sun is like having a thorn in your face.
Ah, Hemingway.
Yes.
Classic.
My stepdad is like drinking poison at the bottom of a poison waterfall.
Mm. J.K. Rowling.
Tony Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
I am so confused in this movie. Like, these people generally have never read a book. Do they have any context for what they, like, he's writing these statements like they're really meaningful to him, but What does that mean to him?
So I think that he had to read some books as part of his super upper level fireman's training.
Sure.
He's like, hey, you're about to be in the big leagues. You might have to read a book or two, like I did.
Yeah.
And I think it's supposed to be like his inner turmoil of him being like, I love these books. I fucking love these books. They're my dark secret passion. Because
all he does is quote books the entire movie.
Yeah. To everyone.
All the time.
24/7.
Yeah.
So he stays up all night writing little scraps of notes on pieces of paper, and then he burns them all. What's that mean? We're not sure. Turmoil. He feels bad about it. That's clear.
I guess.
We see Clarice go meet an old man, and she sneaks him a cassette tape that he puts in a tape in like a Walkman and listens to some jazz.
Gold spray painted Walkman.
And he's like, oh, well, here, I'll give in return for this. Here's where a book drop off is. Don't worry, there's nobody there.
Mm. So, oh, yeah, no one lives there.
Don't worry about it. So then she hands that off to Beatty, or it's implied she does. And they're going to go bust up a book drop off.
Busting books feel good.
Mm. They kick down the door and, oh, what's this? It's an old lady reading a book. She ain't saying anything.
Drinking some wine, reading some books.
Step away from that book, ma'am.
Stop reading that book.
Got to post about this on Instagram. So cozy. Love reading books.
Click, click, click.
Hashtag lazy Sunday.
One of the firemen from upstairs goes, you're never going to believe what's filling this room up here. You got to get in here, fire commissioner.
What, like a bunch of rats?
What could it be?
Like 4,000 moths.
Almost. Getting closer.
A bunch of rollerblades.
Is it a collection of oven mitts?
Maybe. I couldn't even describe it to you.
Ooh, pinball machines.
We don't have to burn them.
Daniel, you know the pinball machine was eradicated two decades ago in the Great Tilt Wars.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot.
4 million people died.
I love pinball machines secretly. I collect them. It's my secret.
Oh, so naughty.
First time I played one, I cried because it was so beautiful.
Bride of Pinbot, I'm so horny now.
My son walked in on me playing pinball, and now he's in on it, too.
Multiball! Multiball! Multiball!
They run upstairs. Why, it's a whole room of books.
Ah!
Dun, dun, dun.
Lock and load, boys! We're gonna need backup.
Oh, no! Go! The Commissioner Beatty says, get the hell out of here. I gotta have a private conversation with Guy Montag now in front of all these horny books.
Yeah.
He says, when you get promoted, you're gonna have to look at some stuff you're not gonna like. So read that book in front of me right now. Just read it. Just open a page and just read it right now. He opens up Franz Kafka's The Metamorphosis.
Mm.
He reads a little bit out loud. Beatty gives a convert. He gives a little monologue that seems like it's from the original text, based on what I could.
Is it?
Or at least okay. It either is from it or it is a ripoff of it.
It is the crux of his argument is books are dumb. Why would anyone want to read the fictional lives of these random people when they could just be living their own? Also, there's other books that say like, the sun is good, and then the next person is like, the sun is bad. Make up your minds, people.
Why present two sides of an argument? And Guy Montag's like, yeah, just give them one. And Michael Shannon is like, or better yet, zero. Thinking is bad.
He gives a little speech. He pulls out Huck Finn and says, you know, this guy's friends named the N-word, and back in the day, black people hated it, so white people got rid of all these books.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. And then
another asked and answered by white people.
There's other books that women hated, so we got rid of those too, and that's how we ended up banning all the books.
Hemingway. All feminists hate Hemingway is what this movie said.
It's the worst. Now, based on my quick review of Wikipedia, because I did not remember the plot of the original novel that well, that is also kind of what Ray Bradbury's saying about why we would ban books is because they're too PC. We're too PC, we're going to get rid of books. I doubt he said white people in the original story. Let me just take a swing at that one. But that's basically their background here, is they wanted PC culture, so they got rid of books.
Well, that sounds like a cover story to me, right?
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Although it's weird because the idea is like, oh, well, we had to get rid of information people didn't like. All information, except the copies of the information we keep on the internet.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It doesn't really... The internet stuff, which was, you know, made to modernize this, doesn't really shake out
yeah.
with the other elements of this story.
Yeah, it's like there's a bunch of people posting a bunch of stuff that they're not supposed to on the internet. But
yeah.
The government's supposed to be like thought police, mind control. And if you
right.
can just post whatever on the internet, including books, then why are physical books such a problem?
Also, what is the equivalent for movies?
Yeah.
Like, are those uploaded to the internet? Do people have VHS players hidden in their houses?
Oh, man, those peer-to-peer downloading services must have been a real thorn in their paw.
Oh, yeah, BearShare's back, bitches.
Huzzah!
Yeah, later they all have to flee to Canada, which implies that Canada is not like this.
If there's a single country that is not destroying books, then you
then
don't...
all books exist.
Yeah.
They're all fine in Canada. At least.
It's not such a tragedy when you burn a book if, you know, the rest of the copies of Harry Potter are still around, even if they call it the Philosopher's Stone.
Ah, burn it! That's not okay. Destroy it.
Why?
They do show Harry, the first Harry Potter, getting burnt in this book, and it is the Sorcerer's Stone.
It's on our Instagram.
Yep.
Why is this tree going through the windscreen of the car?
Ah! This guy's got a book in his water closet.
Ah! Cheerio, not the cereal.
Guy Montag stuffs a book down his shirt, and then they burn all the books. They make a big pile of the books downstairs, and Beatty's like, Guy, go take the old woman and get her out of here, and she doesn't want to... move. She starts quoting books at him. She's reading The Grapes of Wrath. But Beatty's like, whatever. She wants to watch her books burn. So what? Just then.
This might be the thing that I wanted to post to the Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just then, she rips open her blouse and she's strapped with books. She's got books strapped to her body like a suicide booker.
Yeah.
Why?
Then she jumps on the pile of books, says the word omnis, and lights herself on fire.
Why'd she cover herself in books?
Because it's dumb.
You're already jumping into a pile of flaming books.
I think it's supposed to be a metaphor, like a visual metaphor.
I guess, but...
Because I can't think of a practical reason.
Like, did she want it to be a visual metaphor that would go wasted on a bunch of dumb firefighters?
Who have no idea what the context is. She burns herself and says the word omnis.
Yeah.
Guy Montag looks on in horror. Oh no, she's burning herself for books. That must mean a lot. There's a meeting of the firemen commissioners, a secret meeting with mm-hmm. Beatty, and they're like, we got to figure out what this omnis thing is. We've scrubbed it off the nine. No one knows what she said, but we have to make sure we find out what omnis is. It must be very important.
Oh, this is really where the movie starts going off the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they do the classic sci-fi movie thing of... you know, director of police talking to bosses in a montage of yes. television screens.
Yeah.
great job, Commander.
Yeah. And just, it's very Nick Fury. I'm not going to give that order.
Also, Omnis is the secret plan of the Resistance to keep books alive forever. Why the fuck would she tell that to them?
Yeah. What's the point? What is going on? What is anything going on? Yeah, this is where the movie just completely hops the rails.
Yeah.
We briefly see a video of what the plebes see, which is that she shouts the word coward.
In a clearly dubbed voice, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
She commits a self-burn, one of the fourth self-burn in the United States. She has a plus 100 mental illness.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm freestyle rapping, I will accidentally diss myself. Self-burn.
Guy confronts Beatty and he's like, what does omnis mean? And also, why are we burning books? And also, what's going on? And Beatty says, get your lighter out. Mm. Fucking burn me, man. I'm gonna hold my hand, just keep burning me. I love being burned and I'm burned so much you can't burn me now. And soon you'll be the boy who can't be burned.
No, we're the unburnt boys.
He also says, I watched you grow up for 16 years as an unburnable boy.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
Just just all over the place.
Oh, now is when Michael B. Jordan goes into his bathroom, says, "Yuxie, turn off, please," and then gets his little spankatorium pulled out of his vent.
Yeah.
Starts going through it, and he's reading the this Dostoevsky book.
Yeah, that he swiped from the lady.
Yeah, and is like, there's something in it about, like, well, 2 times 2 is 4, and that's great, but what if 2 times 2 was 5? And he's reading it aloud, and Yuxie's like, excuse me, 2 times 2 is 4?
Actually, it's not.
He's like, Yuxie, I thought I told you to turn off. He's like, I am off. It's just you and me.
It's you and me, baby.
RTFM.
Yeah, Yuxie is all over the place. I'm not exactly clear on what they're saying with it. It doesn't pay off in any way.
It's just supposed to be creepy Alexa.
Yeah.
It's creepy Alexa, and like, I think there's a message that there is no one in control. Like there's no, like, shadow government doing... I mean, the shadow government is doing all this shit, but they're just doing it because it's...
Because they're doing it. It just
and
seems...
And then the Yuxie device allows it to continue to happen.
It seems like really bad screenwriting to introduce this camera that's everywhere that won't turn off even when you tell it to, and then later at the end of the film, when Michael B. Jordan goes off the grid... A physical fireman has to follow him and watch him leave because they're like, oh, we got to track his movements. You, go keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
Like, why the Yuxie stuff if that's how it pays off?
And also, there's just like a drone flying around in every exterior shot of
that
anything ever.
That never does anything.
Yeah. It's stuff that's introduced that just doesn't go anywhere.
We're building a world.
It's a real bright situation.
Yeah, so we can open up Fahrenheit 451 land at Universal Studios.
Ooh. Bring your books to burn.
So my guy Montag, now having read a little bit of a book, is like, I know what I'll do. I'll go confront Clarice out in a parking lot and say, hey, I got a book now. So, you know.
Hey, lady who rats people out for a living to my direct superior. Guess what I did? I'm reading books.
I did a crime. And also, he doesn't, like... Claire, he confronts her, but he's not like, hey, I want you to tell me what's really going on. He just runs up to her and is like, I got a book.
Me like books now.
And she's like, oh, well, come with me then.
I got a bottle of wine and this pretentious book. Let's make a club.
Oh.
So they go back to her apartment and read a book together.
Yep.
And play the harmonica.
Oh, yeah. Clarice plays the harmonica, and then he plays it, and it's like, books are good.
How could you not fall in love listening to a harmonica played by amateurs?
And then we get my favorite, which is a 45-second montage that cuts between all of the firemen doing, like, a kill all the eels while we look for Omnus.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed in with scenes of the two of them reading passages aloud from Dostoevsky together.
Please, Mike, it's guy montage.
It's a guy montage, yeah.
Meanwhile, in this part, these also are concepts that don't pay off. Nobody has guns, they only use switchblades, so guns are banned in the future.
Weirdly, switchblades switchblades are legal. Which is the opposite of how it is now.
Also, and I assume this is just like stylistic choice to make it so that they can read meaningful quotes, but everybody picks up a book, flips to the middle of it, and starts reading from the middle of a random page.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That teaches them the books are good.
You can find inspiration anywhere.
I guess.
They're just like, God, if you're real, give me some meaning. And you open up Harry Potter right in the middle. And you see Harry slicing up Malfoy in the bathroom.
Clarice gives, like, the fourth exposition dump here where she says, the ministry is trying to get rid of all the languages, so there's only one. They're deleting all of our thoughts. None of us can remember our parents. Play the harmonica with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, you're right. I can only sort of remember my dad. And also, there is only one language, I guess.
I'm going to use that line of thinking on someone. To convince them that, like, we're being mind controlled now. Like, can you remember some weird detail that, like, from when you were a kid? Can you remember the name of the hospital you were born at? No.
Aha! Uh-huh! That's probably a thing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure if you go online, there's some flat earth guy.
Yeah.
Aha!
That's why they put fluoride in the water.
Chemtrails.
Yeah, make us all 10% dumber.
Makes all the frogs gay and makes everyone 10% dumber.
The frogs are gay now. That's nice.
Frogs is gay. Frogs is gay and birds is books.
You know what they say, frogs is gay and birds is books.
This is when we get Beatty is teaching a class of firemen about the Omnis. He explains that the Omnis is a DNA filled with all of the books and movies and paintings in the world that the eels are going to spread.
Smuggle to Canada.
It's 1 trillion man hours worth of material, which I assume is the amount of time it would take to create. So if you gave one guy 1 trillion hours, he could make all the art that has ever existed.
All art and books.
And if this bird makes it to Canada, there will be no stopping the spread of all books and paintings and movies all around the world.
Oh, they don't know it's a bird yet.
If you get this,
and they don't know the Canada thing either.
They do know the Canada.
No, that's what guy at this point gotta crack down on this.
No, they know it's going to Canada because that's part of the thing. That's part of the they're going to try to smuggle it to Canada. We got to get it before it gets there.
Okay, how does Canada not have this stuff already? I know we already.
I have no idea.
That,
they don't got birds. They banned birds, but we banned books.
Oh,
it's a swap. That's why it has to be in a bird. Canada needs the birds.
Was the United States like, hey, United States, or hey, Canada, give us all your books. Just for a little bit. We want to borrow them. You can have all our birds.
All the police drive to Canada and go to each library and check out all the books.
It's the perfect crime. And that's why I buy books and don't check them out.
Yeah, that's why you shouldn't use a Kindle or whatever.
Yeah.
So now they have to crack down on all the eels because they're looking for the Omnis, some sort of DNA. And that's what they do. They start cracking down.
Yeah, their plan to get the DNA. It really is a foolproof plan to just put all books in DNA other than than what you do with it part. Because these guys don't know nothing about DNA and all they can do is be like, do you have books in you?
Are you a book now?
Are you a book?
We'll burn books, so you better say no.
This guy sounds like a book.
We don't like your kind around here.
Those are some mighty big words.
It sounds to me like you got some pages ruffling around in there underneath that cover.
This is the point of the movie where both Mike and Daniel are like, oh, this is clearly so dumb, it must be a cover story by the government. Nope. It's books.
Yeah, was definitely like, okay, so Omnis is just a word that no one understands because it's been deleted from human memory, and so the government's freaking out about it, and so to just stop it from spreading, they're going to say Omnis is this dumb DNA thing. Find a single eel and be like, that's Omnis.
Yeah.
Kill it, and then suddenly it's all done.
Yeah, right.
Because that's the way propaganda works.
Nope. That's not how it works in this movie.
How do they know it was DNA?
I don't know.
We never find that out. It just cuts to...
They just know it.
It just cuts to this conversation.
Clarice told them. I don't know.
Yeah.
We have the guy montage that Mike enjoyed so much. Mm-hmm. Clarice gets scooped up with a bunch of eels, and Guy Montag flips a light switch so she can get away. That is immediately followed by another scene where they capture a bunch of eels, and Guy Montag finds a guy and his daughter, and he lets them get away, but he goofs it up, and he gets caught, and they get caught.
Mm-hmm.
But only by Captain Beatty.
I am not at all clear, if you were already an eel, what the punishment for... What are they doing? What are they being catching these people? What was that dad and daughter doing? Reading a book?
Taking a look? Reading Rainbow? I don't know. It's a bunch of eels hanging out. Or maybe not eels. Maybe
citizens.
What's
the punishment for an eel if they caught you? More eel?
I think the thing is that there's not like human rights, so
sure.
It doesn't matter. They just were looking for anyone who was currently an eel, their only plan was to be. Are you a book?
Wouldn't it be more powerful statement about society if when they caught the eels doing something bad, they killed them?
Yeah,
so that they could be like, oh, if you're an eel and you don't have rights, and then we just trump up some charges on you, pun intended, then they burn you fireman style. But they don't do that. It's just like, we got him.
They hit him in the face real hard.
Yeah, they punch him.
They go around being like, okay, who knows anything about Omnis? Nobody? All right, we're just moving on. Okay.
Don't make me punch you.
There's more punches where that came from if you keep not knowing about it.
Beatty's like, ah, guy, you let that dad and his daughter away. Is that because he reminds you of your dad? Oh, well, that's too bad. And Guy Montag says, well, I can't do this anymore. I quit.
Take my gloves and my jacket. I'm retiring.
My mandatory cool guy leather jacket.
Beatty says, nah, just cool it for a day. You'll want to be a fireman still. You love being a fireman. I think at this point we get Guy Montag starts having flashbacks to his dad who had a book and he tried to show him a book and then he got beaten up by the fireman
and the fireman deleted or burned all of his books.
And killed him?
We never see that happen. No.
But I mean, what happened to his dad?
An eel?
We never saw anything happen to his dad other than...
They put the Fingy machine on him, I thought.
They do. But okay. And like, he's still alive?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So that's who that guy hanging out by the house was.
That's the guy who lives in my house with me. They deleted his memory. Guy Montag stops taking his eye drops. Just then, a bus full of eels shows up in front of the firehouse and tells Guy Montag, hey, come with us. And he goes, okay. The Commissioner Beatty says, Fireman Douglas, get in here. I want you to keep an eye on Guy Montag. And Douglas goes, yes, sir, and runs outside and says, there he is, getting in a van.
Hey, now that you're part of the secret rebellion team, where do you want us to pick you up so we can go on our secret mission?
In front of my office, please, where my boss works.
We'll be right there.
Commissioner Beatty says, I don't want to look out my window. You look out my window. Ah, there's Guy Montag getting in a bad guy mobile.
Good work, Fireman Douglas.
He tells Fireman Douglas, hey, when I tell you to follow someone, get in their ass.
Yeah.
The end.
Yep.
Next scene. Now, for the first time in this movie, it's daytime, and they all drive to a commune out in the country. We're introduced to the Book Lovers Club, or whatever.
Yeah.
It really is a Jane Austen book club. Do you guys remember that movie from 2007?
Nope.
It's good. Just cut that part out.
Okay.
There's a new movie called Book Club, right?
Yeah.
Right in theaters right now? I saw a bunch of grandmas.
Is that the same?
Kill someone.
Is that the same one as Trivia Night?
You're thinking of Game Night.
Oh, sorry.
Mm. No, this one's getting more Golden Girls vibe. So probably very similar, but with old ladies.
Yeah.
So they go out to the commune, right?
Yeah. I love all these movies that involve a resistance because the color palette always swaps to like golden brown whenever you're hanging out
in an
old rustic house full of kitschy paintings and rugs all over the place.
Then as soon as you get to the city, it's all teal and orange.
Ah, terrible. How can anyone stand that teal and orange?
One of the guys in the van is really mad at Guy because he deleted his life or his brother's life or something. But Clarice is like, no, he's cool now.
Yeah. Don't worry. He read a book.
We read a book together. I like him. He meets the commune and we get yet another exposition scene where we learn about the book lovers. Here's what we know about them. They all memorize all their books because they love books so much.
Well, they each memorize one book.
They each memorize one book because they love books so much.
And they they personify that book now.
Well, it's the only way books will live or something. Because
all the ones on the internet.
Except for all the ones on the internet.
Why the fuck is it better to have a person be a book rather than a book be a book? Books ain't big.
Birds are even smaller than books.
You know who lives longer than people? Books.
Put them on a zip drive.
Yeah. Ooh, wow.
I got a lot of them in here.
Yeah.
They live off the grid because they don't have computers or Uxies.
To where it's farther than 20 minutes via drone flight.
Yes, they live in the black hole. Yeah. The firemen can't find them there. And they just sit around reading and memorizing a book all day.
Yep.
Also, most of them have already memorized their book.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? What is going on? I don't know. But this is when they go, okay, we've got our plan, but before we can get you part of it, you need to prove your loyalty to books.
Mm-hmm.
In the other room is a fireman that you know, and here's a knife, and we need you to stab him to death. Guy Montag says, okay, I can do this. Gets a few practice stabs in on a sack of potatoes next to him. He's like, oh, I'm ready. I know how to do the stabs. I just did them. I got my practice stabs in. runs into the door. He sees a guy tied up with a sack over his head, and he's like, I'm going to stab him. He runs over to stab the guy, and just before he does, an old man jumps out and says, no, don't stab him.
Surprise!
Surprise, he's actually a bookman.
It was a test.
You passed the test.
You just had to want to stab him.
It's a real Abraham situation.
Yeah. You just almost stabbed Eat, Pray, Love.
He meant...
let's see. Gotta kill the fireman. He stabs the sack. I'm reading through my notes there. He almost stabs the guy, but he's not the guy.
And then we meet the bird.
Oh,
finally.
We meet the teen boy who just falls out of this movie. First, we're introduced to they take him to the barn, which is full of books, and a teenage boy who shows what Mike properly described as movie Asperger's.
Yep.
Cinema Asperger's, where he's memorized 13,000 books and he knows them all, and he tells Guy, I've memorized all the books. Pick a book at random, tell me a page and a paragraph, and I'll read it to you.
Yeah, he does the magician thing. Mm-hmm. He does the like, all right, now have we met each other before? No, sir, we haven't. Pick up that book, please. Tell me when to stop. Okay. Will you circle the first word on the page? Was it Aloysius?
Oh! Oh my god, it is!
Is there someone in your life with an M in their name?
Would it? Now would be. It would be surprising if I knew that word, but would it even be more surprising if I had it tattooed on my eyelid?
Oh! Mind freak! So we meet this teen boy who's memorized everything, and he introduces us to his bird, Lenny. And his bird is a book.
His bird is all of the books.
It's Omnis, the bird DNA.
Yeah, apparently when you combine all of literature and creativity and everything ever into
DNA. In the history of recorded humanity.
Yeah,
it's all in there.
That translates into being a bird.
Into one bird.
He's a book.
A bird in the hand is worth all of humanity.
So they got this book bird. But of course, having the book bird's not enough. They have to get this book bird to Canada, where the Canadian scientists will unbird it.
No, I believe the direct quote was, we got to get this bird book to Canada, because then the Canadians
mm-hmm.
will get the bird book DNA into all of the other birds. And then there will be a million bird books.
And then anyone can just pluck a bird out of the sky and start a reading.
I mean, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention.
No, that's right.
Okay.
I've watched this twice now. That's it.
I don't understand how that helps.
You can put any book you want on these birds as long as it only has the letters G, A, T, and C.
There ought to be a scene where they run the bird through like a meat grinder and a bunch of books come out.
Yeah,
the other
pages.
it worked. We debooked him.
So what you're saying right now is after their plan succeeds, let's say... I, a citizen of this world.
You just, as you often do,
trap a bird,
pluck a bird out of the sky,
withdraw its blood.
Yeah,
get a single drop, run it through a gene sequencer for what? I don't know.
You don't have a home gene sequencer
for I don't know what? 10 years? How long does it take to sequence a bird genome?
Books.
Well, I sequenced my genes once. They turned out great.
Yeah, it's just called a bedazzler. Yeah. My gene sequencer.
Hey,
but then if I managed to do that, I'd have every book, video game, movie, music,
think
meme,
of the
YouTube video.
Oh, like Napster on a bird.
Call the RIA; they'll get like attack helicopters. They'll take care of this bird problem.
You wouldn't steal a book. You wouldn't steal a car. But you'd steal a bird.
I would steal a bird. It's true.
Is it legal to steal a bird? It's like out of nature.
No.
Why not?
I am sure that there is, what's it called?
Bird crime?
No.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
No, like I'm sure there's exotic pet laws that you can't. You
know bird crime!
Like, I'm sure you can't keep an eagle as a pet.
Okay, but what about like a sensible bird?
What was that, Katrina?
Yeah. That's why people can't keep squirrels.
Sure, that's why you can't keep a squirrel.
I follow a pet squirrel on Instagram.
Oh, did you hear about that sad squirrel, though?
No, do
no.
I want to?
No.
Don't tell this story, babe. It's too sad.
Okay, I'll tell you later.
This cat is talking about pet squirrels and wants in on the action.
I'll tell you later. It's very sad.
Oh, no.
Listeners, look up sad squirrel.
Not at work, though. You don't want to cry.
Yeah.
And Secret Squirrel.
Oh, Secret Squirrel's cool.
Yeah, you know, for a pick-me-up afterwards. So this bird's a book, but their plan has one fatal flaw. It requires that they have befriended a fireman, because to do it, they need a transponder. And the only transponders are at the fire department, I guess.
The only way to determine the location of Canada, a.k.a. the frozen lands, is by stealing a blinking dot.
And now, I want to do a list at some point. About all of the movies in which a transponder is required for the
yeah
seems to be too much.
Because I've never seen a transponder in real life, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still convinced it's not a real thing.
I think like planes have transponders.
Okay,
I did a quick Wikipedia thing. I think a transponder waits for a radio signal, and when it gets it, it sends out a different radio signal.
Ah, a ping.
Yes.
Okay.
And so it could be like, plane, where are you? I'm over here.
Or bird, where are you?
Bird where are you? Go to Canada.
And somehow that makes the bird go to Canada.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe it gets the Canadian scientist to track it down.
Get that bird. Follow that bird.
Get their big net out.
Because Ant-Man had that scene, right, where he had to get the transponder from Avengers headquarters and ended up fighting
yep.
the Hawkman.
All about transponder.
Falcon.
Yeah.
I mean, Falcon.
Cars. Yeah. Guy Montag returns to the fire department to get a transponder. Little does he know that Fireman Douglas told Fireman Beatty that he got in a van full of eels. So he goes into the fire department, he goes to the evidence locker, gets out a transponder from their transponder tray, and turns it on so it's blinking, so now he knows that the transponder works, but he stopped on his way out.
I'll just set this to the Canadian Scientist channel. Click, 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 click.
Ready to go. Beatty stops him and says, "Well, well, well, we caught you red-handed. Guess what we found in the locker room? It's a copy of Crime and Punishment, and you must love books so much, so why don't you read a book, book lover?"
You're trailing books all over the place.
And he's like, "It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, except the Crime and Punishment one.
You don't even want to burn." And Guy Montag says, "I love to burn." And he goes, "Oh, I'd rather we burn together, burn bro." And he's like, "All right, let's burn, Bernie."
He's fucking Bernie bros.
It's a bunch of Bernie bros.
And he's like, "All right, let's do it. We're going to go to the big burn place right now. You and me, brosif.
Hashtag feel the burn." So they go. Oh, wouldn't you know it? They went to Guy Montag's house.
What?
Oh, no. And he's on the internet and everyone's booing him.
Yeah.
Boo.
Traitor Montag. Boo. Frowny face. Skull face.
Traitor.
Ain't it's still not real because there was no poop emojis.
They take him inside his house and inside it's full of books. And he goes, "These aren't my books. I've been set up for books." And
No, don't get me wrong. I love books now, but these aren't my books.
I haven't read these. They could be good. I don't know. Beatty says, "Yuxi, go dark for a minute." And says, I did this to you. I've betrayed you. You betrayed me, so I'm getting you. Okay, Yuxi, come back on now. Burn all these books, book lover." He burns all the books, book lover.
And he has to burn a projection of himself on the wall.
Yeah, he has to burn all of his like projections down, too. I don't know why that has to do with books, but they make him do it.
There's some big thing about the worshiping the self in this movie.
Yeah,
it's not really
strength.
Fleshed out, and he has to burn a picture of himself.
We see all of his precious books that aren't actually his being burned. The Iliad, Moby Dick.
Harry Potter
and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Communist manifestos in there.
No! He runs outside. Beatty puts on the finger burner on his fingers and says, "You're an eel now. You've betrayed me, and I hate your guts." And Guy Montag grabs a flamethrower and says, "Back off or I'm going to burn Douglas." And Beatty says, "Good, burn him. I hate Douglas. Burn Douglas to death." Yeah. Douglas says, "No, please don't.
Don't burn me." Also, Douglas, these flamethrowers have a range of like 15 feet.
Yeah.
Back up.
Back up.
He burns Douglas to death.
Yep.
Well, Douglas rushes him, so he pulls the trigger, and Douglas burns alive. And then
he thinks about burning Beatty, but he can't do it.
Oh, there's also a pack of like 60 bystanders and news people standing there just
and
watching
other,
this.
And other firemen with flamethrowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with quick thinking, he throws a fire grenade on the ground and sets it on fire, causing an explosion, giving him time to run away.
Why wouldn't he just be an illegal? Who cares? He loves books anyways.
He's got a commune he could live in.
Yeah, he could memorize a book.
Because he needs that transponder. He didn't have a choice. He had to come back.
Oh. Hide in your gutter.
He decides he's going to run back to the commune with the transponder. So he does that, I guess, 20 miles away?
Mm. Yeah, but not before Yuxie finds it and leads Captain Beatty there.
Yeah, he gets there just as the firemen show up, and they start burning everything, including the barn. He runs inside the barn, and the teen's dead, but the bird's alive.
That teen died from smoke inhalation, I guess.
Yeah, probably. Well, the bird was close enough to the ground, it didn't affect it.
Ah, okay.
He picks up the bird. Beatty comes in there with a flamethrower and says, "You drop the bird right now." And he just slowly puts a transponder on the bird.
Yeah.
Just kind of like wiggling it around for a while. Lets the bird go and it flies away. And then Beatty burns him to death.
And it's the end of the movie.
We see the bird
fly through
the fields of America. Flying over rolling hills to Canada. Then it joins a flock of birds.
Oh, man. None of those Canadian scientists are never going to find.
Now all those birds is books, I guess. Or their eggs are books.
Or, yeah, that bird will lay some pipe and all of its children will have half the books. Or half the words out of all the books.
Yeah, it'll have a scrambled book. Or maybe you evolve new books that way.
Yeah. Well, if you're just careful and you, like, you know, don't break the yolk and you put it in, like, boiling water for 3 minutes, mm-hmm. you get a
book comes out.
Oh, yeah.
You get a poached book, not a scrambled book.
The end. Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
That is why you should never burn books.
Yeah. No books. Never burn any books.
Never burn a book. Never burn a videotape. Never burn a bird.
Recycle them.
Guns are bad, but switchblades are good.
What'd you guys think?
I really disliked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah.
I liked the first 15 minutes of it.
It's not good.
Nope.
And then it's also boring simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael B. Jordan and Michael Shannon do their best.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan has the unenviable task of playing an extremely dumb guy who doesn't understand anything that's going on.
Yeah.
So every scene is him looking dumbfounded while other people talk to him.
Yeah, also, like, they're supposed to be, like, chemically dumber, which makes it hard to know, like, well, can I relate to anyone in this movie at all? Can I imagine what they're thinking right now? No.
I don't know why they introduced the concept of memory erasure and drugs in a future where they've already destroyed all knowledge.
Yeah, pick a thing.
Right.
Pick a thing and make your movie about it.
Don't pick all things.
Yeah.
The other thing is that they don't, the movie begins with everyone in the movie is like, heck yeah, I love burning books. It's literally my favorite thing in life.
Let's
also the
songs.
Only thing I do.
Let's go sing songs about it. Let's go drinking afterward.
Sure.
None of us have families. There's nothing we do other than burn books, and it's
which
the coolest thing in the world.
And we're famous
to
for
be
it.
Doing. And then immediately,
Minute one,
they're like, but secretly we all have little tiny books. And I'm like, what? Pick a lane.
Is it good or bad? What are you trying to tell me?
Like, at least give these guys motivation to change their mind at some point.
Or reveal their secret books at the end.
Yeah.
Book of Eli.
Or Equilibrium. Turns out my little Hitler youth was a good guy.
Right. Yeah, also, maybe this is an unpopular opinion. I don't know. I love a lot of these dystopian books. Fahrenheit 451, I remember kind of liking. I don't think that concept holds up anymore. 1984, where it's like, the government controls everything you do and keeps an eye on you.
Yeah.
That holds up. The idea that, like, the way that your government's going to stomp down on you is by taking all of the information and destroying it is the opposite of real life, where we just have a bunch of government people saying, well, that's just not true. Here's a second book.
Oh, yeah.
That I've made up and you should read instead.
Yeah, I think it's like a fun parable, but as far as a world to live in, it doesn't really track.
Yeah, that's just not how propaganda works.
Well, and
currently.
Also,
currently.
Yeah, right now it doesn't work like that.
This movie doesn't explain why books were burnt. Like, it kind of offers
feminist.
A few explanations that really come off as just like a cover-up story.
Yeah.
You know, like, Michael Shannon is like, well, Benjamin Franklin was the first fireman and he told us to burn all the books. And
right.
The old guy's like, well, that's not true. And then a few scenes later, he's like, well, we got to get rid of all the books because feminists and black people.
Right. That, and actually that explanation, which I think is probably from the book, makes more sense in today's world where it's like, oh, he has a different version of events, and that's what he believes, mm-hmm. and the government backs him up, as opposed to, like, well, we just destroy all information yeah. and don't have any.
Right.
Like, that just doesn't track right now.
Yeah, and they...
And that's fine. Like, you could make that story and be good, but you can't do that and also modernize the other parts, where it's like, how do you have the internet but also no knowledge?
Yeah. I think what the book was going for, and forgive me because I haven't read it in forever and just browsed the Wikipedia very briefly right. recently.
As a refresher.
But was more about how it's very easy for society to get wrapped up in a bunch of inane bullshit. Right.
Yeah.
And so if all you're doing is watching The Bachelor and gossiping about, you know, TMZ stuff, you're not going to actually learn.
Michael.
Oh, I don't watch The Bachelor no more.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Daniel.
Well, I don't watch it either.
Yes. Good work, you two.
The wagons really fell off that.
Yeah. The wheels fell off that wheel.
Yeah. the wagon fell off of its wheels. but, you know, you could distract everyone by making them watch a bunch of insipid bullshit.
Sure.
I do, however, love MasterChef Junior. That yeah. is still a thing.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
But if you have an informed populace that watches
MasterChef Junior,
then you actually have to contend with them as the government. This movie didn't actually touch on that at all. Like, well, okay, they had, like, the emoji live stream thing.
That was actually the one thing I liked, where I was like, that could be a movie.
Yeah.
But no,
that was it.
Yeah, they never follow. That is just the one thing they do, and they never follow up on it.
Yeah.
You could do a good movie where it's the dystopian future where, like, the Gestapo are YouTube celebrities.
Mmm. PewDiePie, no!
Right, where PewDiePie is famous for kicking in doors and, like, shooting people.
I mean, yeah, I definitely think there's plenty of dystopian movies you can make based on current social media trends.
Or just look out the window. It's out there.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that Black Mirror? Isn't that all of Black Mirror?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is six episodes of Black Mirror all smooshed together.
And that one Meow Meow Beans episode of Community.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that Meow Meow Beans episode of Black Mirror.
What do you think, Daniel?
Oh, it was bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just the amorphous soup of a movie.
It really
was. A very, like, solemn, quiet, ponderous soup where everyone's really dumb.
Yeah.
Nothing happens. He's like, does his main character like books because he loves that one book? Or is he in love with his girlfriend who likes books?
I think it's just because he remembers his dad had a book. I literally think that's it.
Mm.
Is that he once burned a book and then it triggered... That's just because his eye drop stopped working.
There'd be a much better version of this where he reads a book and then he starts believing the stuff in that particular book.
Yeah.
Like he reads the Communist Manifesto or whatever that guy's name is. And then is like, this is really meaningful to me. But even at the end of this movie, he's like, I don't really understand any of this. It makes me feel weird.
Yeah, he gives an explanation about the book of like, this book washed over me and I didn't understand any of it. Just like my life has washed over me and I didn't understand any of that. And therefore, I love books.
Yeah. Also, there is a version of some sort of dystopian fiction where like, all books are destroyed, so the only way to keep books is we have to memorize them. And then we can, you know, the oral tradition is still alive. In this, they're like,
Book of Eli?
Yeah, right. In this, it's like, we love books, and we prove how much we love books by memorizing them. Much like how I prove I love, I don't know, video games by having memorized all the levels. Like, that's not the fun part of books.
To be fair, though, in high school, I really loved Farscape, and I had the episode titles memorized.
Ooh.
Yeah, but that's incidental to the thing you like, which is watching the show.
It's true.
Hey, man, I'm sick of memorizing books. Can we get a bird to do it or something?
Yeah, that's right.
What if we had a bird do it for us?
I like the one person like, I didn't like the book I'm memorizing. Can I read another one? I'm like, no. Not until you memorize it. Sorry, you got the 500-page tome.
Oh, man.
I memorized Fight Club.
Yeah.
Mm. I got Silmarillion.
Oh. It'd take me forever and nobody wants to hear what I have to say.
Should we do some tests?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this will be an interesting one.
It is an interesting one. The Bechdel test. Are there two named female characters?
No.
I don't think there are.
No.
There's Clarice, and there's some books.
And then there are the women who read the books who don't have names.
Yes. It's funny that everyone on the Fire Brigade is men. I don't know if that was a statement or just how the original book was, but it shows them all singing at a bar, and it's just a bunch of dudes.
I think my personal belief is that this is yet another thing that is meant to be a statement that they don't do. They're also almost exclusively white men, and almost all the book people are people of color.
Yeah.
It is not commented on at all, except for the scene where Beatty says something about Huck Finn.
That's just like those, the trappings of dystopian future stuff, where it's like, now we'll meet the resistance with all, like, people of the world.
Mostly women.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're all wearing robes.
So, yes, there's only really one named female character, Clarice. She...
Well, actually, everyone has names.
Book names.
Yeah, they're like, this is Douglas, a.k.a. Grapes of Wrath, or whatever.
I think that there is a single line that the book leader says to Clarice, which is like, you were memorizing white teeth, right? And she goes, yeah.
Oh, actually, I was paying attention later on. Clarice runs over to one of the female book ladies, is like, you gotta get out of here.
There it is.
They do.
I don't say that as a conversation unless they both say something. But yeah, and it's weird because a lot of this seems intentional, but it just goes uncommented on.
Yeah,
for a movie that comments on a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
The racial Bechdel test. Are there two named people of color in this movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Clarice and Guy Montag. They talk to each other. All the book people are people of color. I think.
There's a few white guys.
Yeah, it's like an old white man.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're white, they're old men or young women.
They're professorial.
Yeah, they're a professorial old white person or...
A young blonde woman.
Young blonde.
There were a couple young blonde women that would end up, like, trying to stop and like the firemen, and they would just push them down.
Yeah.
Or they would be, like, lined up on the corner on the curb outside.
It's just a random sampling of the population of Burning Man.
Yeah.
Old white men or young blonde women.
Yeah. I don't think that, yeah, the Guy Montag and Clarice talk to each other. That passes the racial Bechdel test. Are there any LGBTQ characters?
No.
No. I don't think so. It doesn't come up at all.
I mean, not stated. Yeah.
Yeah. The only sexuality is... Between Montag and Clarice, and they have no chemistry. And
well, Michael Shannon, Michael B. Jordan.
There's a lot of
going on. There's
a daddy son thing going on.
Yeah. There's something going on there. Yeah,
yeah. At first, it's like, oh, he's his adopted dad, and then by the end, it's like, no. They just are a couple guys. What does he tell him? I'd rather my brother burn with me in the dark than walk with me in the light or something.
Yeah. Right, walk alone in the light.
Alone.
Are you my brother?
Yeah.
Are you my burn brother?
Yes.
Come collect signatures for Bernie with me. I want to burn. I want to burn. I want to feel the burn.
That bird that landed on his podium was filled with books.
Oh, Benny the book. He doesn't even feel the burn anymore.
Oh.
Once you've been burning long enough.
Hold that pamphlet up to my hand.
Crinkle,
closer.
Crinkle. Yeah, that's the test. It passes one of them.
One
total pass.
Yeah.
Where does the third act begin?
Probably when they're like, hey man, you wanna burn? And he has to go get the transponder.
Oh, when they give him his mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's passed the I'm gonna stab this guy test.
Yeah, that's the end of the second act.
And they're like, there's a bird. Go get us a transponder.
We've got a man, a bird, a canal. Canada.
All right, let's do it.
Break.
We're back. We got some endings for you.
Endings.
Endings. Got some endings with my fixins. Which I got here at the Golden Corral.
What kind of endings you got in that bag?
I got pork endings. I got beef endings. Ain't no veggie Indians here at Golden Corral.
The Gold-Dan Corral?
Gold?
This isn't Warcraft?
We brought it back. We couldn't go. We couldn't go a whole episode. I'll be number one.
I'll be number two.
I'll be number three.
That is it.
Number two.
Oh, that's me. Okay. Let me rub my ending fingers together in front of the mic. Let you get out a couple of those loose farts I got going on.
Much better.
All right. So when we last left off, Guy Montag talks to the commune and they say, here's our memorizing book boy and here's our book bird. And we need to get that transponder to take this bird to Canada. Mm. Yeehaw! So you need to go back to the fire station, get us a transponder, and then we'll use it to find the Canada scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Canada dry scientists.
Ooh.
They don't drink.
Ginger ale.
Guy Montag returns to the fire department. He steals the transponder, but then he gets confronted by Beatty, who says, I wished you were my burn brother. They go to his house. He burns up some books. He escapes back to the commune, but they followed him there. Mm. You know, the ending as you remember it. Guy gets there just before Beatty and the other firemen. He runs into the barn. What's his face? The book boy has been killed, but Lenny the bird's still alive. Beatty runs up to him with a flamethrower and says, you need to drop that bird. We know that's the Omnis. And he says, no, I put this transponder in it. I'm going to let him go. And they have their, you know, their standoff. And just then, Lenny wriggles his way out of his hand. He says, hold on there, chaps. It's Lenny the Bird here.
Oh, no!
Yuxie, put me up on the screen. I want to talk to these American citizens.
Yes, Lenny, can do.
Beatty's like, oh, no, we've got to burn this devil bird. And Lenny says, hold on there, Beatty. I'm mastered all of the world's culture. Perhaps this philosophy will change your mind. And he starts quoting philosophy about how the learned man is the one who doesn't burn birds or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And Beatty's like, this gives me something to think about.
A real Descartes.
Yeah.
That's right. And Lenny turns to the drone camera and says, hello, America. When these eels implanted me with all of the world's knowledge, they also implanted me with all of their knowledge into my brain. I don't just carry it in my DNA. I've become all of the world's knowledge. And I've got a few things I'd like to say. This is when we cut to a montage of Lenny the Bird.
My name's Lenny and I'm here to say,
Yuxie, drop me the fattest beat. Read a lot of books, they're in my DNA. I'm gonna tell you a story, hey.
The dialogue cuts off, but we see Lenny giving a speech, and it cuts to all the people watching on screens on front of buildings. Mm-hmm. They start tearing up. They start looking and hugging one another. They start writing things on the ground in shock.
Oh.
They're like,
the world is a book, and we're just living in it.
All the firemen start throwing down their flamethrowers.
Yeah.
So then we start seeing this another guy montage, and it's, you know, Lenny becomes most popular celebrity on the nine. Guy Montag foils assassination attempt on Lenny the Bookbird.
Mm.
Lenny wins presidential bid in a landslide. President Omnis Lenny arises as, you know, new American president. He promises a new country full of knowledge and culture. Lenny institutes a one bird per home policy.
Mm.
Bird flu ravages the Midwest.
Oh, Lenny.
The 69th Amendment guarantees the bird right to vote.
Oh.
Lenny wins his fifth term in office.
Oh. boo.
Human slaves began construction of Statue of Bird Liberty.
Yay!
And, we end with Lenny sitting on a throne of human skulls in the ravages of the White House, as the birds ascend to their rightful place as head of the United States.
Oh, yeah. Planet of the birds.
Yeah. It's Bird Abraham Lincoln shows up at the end.
Yeah, I was going to say, post-credit sequence is astronauts from the 1960s land in...
astronauts.
Ape astronauts.
Oh,
yeah.
Paint it forward. Wait a second.
Yeah, time's a flat circle. Okay, I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and President Lenny ascends to the throne as the new American president.
Nice.
But also a bird.
And he only dines on human eyeballs.
That's right. Those are witches' eyeballs.
Oh, okay, great. Yay!
Very good.
I'll be evens.
I'll be odds.
I'd vote for him.
Four. That's an evens. That's a Daniel. Me.
Even Stevens.
All right. So everything happens as you remember it. They have to go get the dumb bird and let it free or whatever. But so just take the last third of this movie, but insert a few scenes where Michael B. Jordan goes, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense whenever anybody tells him something dumb.
Huh.
Like, man, why can't I remember my family or anything? Why am I saving a bird? Like, who's this Michael Shannon guy? How'd he get turned into a boss? He shouldn't be a boss. He's a creep. No thanks. Spends the whole movie doing that. And then, so eventually he chooses to save Books, the book bird, in lieu of himself.
Yeah.
You see the flames start to shoot out and they lick at his face. But then, oh, what's this? Time stops. The whole world begins disassembling before his very eyes. All the texture disappears from everything, and all of a sudden he's just surrounded by a blank grid, and he sees a bunch of other Michael B. Jordans standing around in similar situations. Almost all of them are throwing a bird in the sky.
%99 bird efficiency.
Yeah. They all turn into blue worms. They all float up to the sky to a big, big meter that says 99.8% confirmed book lover. And
you
then the camera goes out through the ceiling and it's revealed that they're actually in the real life Michael B. Jordan's phone. That's right. He has run a simulation to prove to his friend, who is played by the other Michael in real life, that
he loves books.
Yes,
God damn
he's
it!
Taking the future BuzzFeed's book quiz. You don't even need to take it; just makes a copy of yourself to see what you would do in Bookland. And yeah, he loves books and has proved it using a simulation of the world of Fahrenheit 451.
Oh,
the end.
I like.
Hope you didn't want to watch that old episode of Black Mirror, anyone.
I thought of a very, very dumb joke that I'm now going to tell while you were.
Sure.
So it's the Matrix, right?
Uh-huh.
But they're all birds.
Okay.
Neo the bird is in the simulation, and Morpheus says, oh, were you looking at me, or were you looking at the robin with the red breast?
save that for the bird matrix.
Oh, I love that. All right.
What martial art would you upload to a bird's brain?
Wing Chun.
Magpie.
Mine was better, but yours was funnier.
Krav Maka!
Oh, there it is.
Hey, yeah. No, there, that's right in the middle. That's between the goalposts.
Okay, here we go. My ending. Michael B. Jordan is at the ranch of book lovers, and they're like, you know what? We have this bird who knows all the books.
My hand.
We need to get a transponder all up on this bird so it can find Canada.
Michael, this ending's dumb.
You gonna help us with this? And he's like, yeah, of course I am. I love books and I love birds. I mean, it's like,
no
right, it's like totally right up my alley. Of course, but in my ending, you know, they saw him get into that van with all of the eels, you know, Team Master Hunter or whatever his name was.
Yeah, that's right. Douglas.
Douglas. And they do the thing that you would do, which is you would just follow him.
Yeah.
And so all of the dudes, the firefighters, are now outside and they're like, we have the impound surrounded. Come up with your hands up. It's me, Michael Shannon. And they're like, quick, go out the back door. Go get that transponder. We got to get this donezo. So Michael B. Jordan and the woman whose name I don't remember, and the teenager whose name I don't remember.
Clarice, and I don't know the teenager's name.
And the bird all loaded in the back of, I don't know, some Yugo or something. And they hightail it toward the city to get themselves a transponster.
Sure. Can the bird be in the passenger seat?
Yeah. The bird has the phone open and he's like, you need to take a left, 0.25 miles. They are, you know, they're driving. There's a whole big car chase sequence.
Hell yeah.
They're trying to get out of, they're trying to dodge the firefighters.
Shooting fire out the back of their car.
Exactly.
Trying to shoot their tires.
And while they're doing this, the teen's like, what about you, Michael B. Jordan? Have you read any books? And he's like, only two. The one from earlier, this is my Michael B. Jordan impression.
That's good.
The one from earlier with Clarice. And then one from my childhood that I'm only beginning to remember. And we cut back to those halcyon days when his dad's mm-hmm. being arrested, and we see a red book, just the back of it, in the pile that he manages to stick his little child fingers out and grab before he gets burned.
Good work.
And he's like, what do you think? Did you ever think you memorized that one, Michael B. Jordan? And he says, you know, as I'm becoming more and more in love with books again, maybe I did just memorize this one. Maybe I did. They end up at Fireman's headquarters, where the transponsters live.
That's right.
But we learn that all of the security panels, oh no, they've all been changed because they've obviously there's a mole in here, so we need to change up the security.
Mm-hmm. You got a fire mole.
So it's going to be hard for him to get back in. All these doors have these panels that have like two symbols on it. There's one that's a car and one that's a boat, things like that. Which one do I choose? I got to choose the one that gets me in.
Right.
And they're like, oh man, how are we going to figure this out? And Michael B. Jordan just enters his mind and he's like, I would not eat them on a boat. Pushes the boat. Next door, I would not eat them with a goat. Hits the thing. I would not eat them in the rain. Pushes and pushes as green eggs and ham flows through his mind. And he remembers the book his dad read, the book that made his dad's best friend jealous, his best friend Michael Shannon jealous, mm-hmm. and led to his arrests and the burning. Michael Shannon never understood the complexities that was green eggs and ham.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So he orchestrated a world in which no books could exist.
I knew it.
He was president.
He was president all along. Michael B. Jordan goes through the entirety of the 12 stanzas of
Fox Box Plane Train,
gets to the transponster, pulls it out, puts it on the bird, throws it out the window.
Woo!
Just then, Michael B. Jordan bursts in, and he's like, and by that I mean Michael Shannon bursts in, and he's like, no! And
falls out the window.
Then they spin a top, and it's like, does it fall over? I don't even know. That's the end.
The end.
Yay.
Looks like that bird was worth two in the bush.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a dumb movie. Hey. Should our listeners go buy HBO to watch this movie?
Yeah.
I mean, you should just get HBO. I don't know why you wouldn't. And by that, I mean, like, get into some sort of stream share with your buddies.
Yeah. That's HBO fam.
Have Carl get Netflix and Susan will get HBO Go and you'll pay for Hulu Plus. And then you all just share.
Oh, who's watching what on Hulu Plus?
I'm watching Hulu Plus because I watch Bob's Burgers.
What did we watch on Handmaid's Tale? Is a Hulu Plus original?
I just got rid of it. I don't miss it. You know why? Because I'm a book man. Take some notes, turds.
That's why I've been reading all of Dragon Ball Z Kai.
I've been learning how to be a pickup artist.
And let me tell you, it's going great.
Yeah, they say art's dead. Not my art.
Well, the only art that matters, picking up art.
Hello, I hope you're enjoying the grocery store. Here's a feather boa. And a puzzle for you. Yeah.
That apple looks a little mealy. Way to pick one out, dummy.
Hey, let's catch you at the cash register.
Happy Tuesday, you idiot. Hi, I'm Daniel. You've just been nicked.
Time to Kino Escalate. Okay. Woo. Michael, you got anything you want to plug?
Listen to Sidekicks Pod. We watch superhero movies. And
yeah, you do.
They've been pretty good so far.
What's the next one you guys are going to do?
By the time this comes out, probably Incredibles 2.
Oh, that's probably going to be good.
Will be newish or right around the corner.
How do you guys feel about Incredibles 1?
I'm into it.
I really loved it, and I'm really worried that the whole Brad Bird, Ayn Rand thing is a thing.
I rewatched The Incredibles recently.
Does it hold up?
Yeah, it holds up. The animation is bad now.
Yeah, that's weird. That's real. I saw that too when I watched a clip. Like, ooh, yuck.
In my memory, I was like, oh, it looks awesome, and it's so cartoony. And watching it now, I was like, oh.
Yeah, it was 2005, 2006? It's a while ago now. Yeah.
But the movie holds up.
Good. It was like my favorite Pixar at the time.
Yeah. Well, and also.
But I haven't watched it really since new.
Right.
Participation trophies. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Totally.
That is a problem.
No, totally. It's a lot of, but my kid's special.
Yeah, I mean,
it's all the not special kids that are making my life hard.
Back.
I ain't paying for their goddamn trophies.
Yeah. Brad Bird's okay, right? It's John Lasseter that was the problem.
I thought it was Brad Bird. Because it's the same. Who was the one who did Tomorrowland?
Oh, no, I don't mean story-wise. I mean, is a predator.
John
Lasseter. John Lasseter's a predator.
The hug and kiss guy.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I don't think there's any of that with Brad Bird. He's more just like Tomorrowland with the whole scientists are better than normal people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're better than normal people, and if you're special, that's the most important thing.
Oh, well, you know, that included shock artists. The lowliest occupation.
Yeah, go listen to our Tomorrowland episode for more details.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, there was a delightful sheriff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. There's a laser dog.
Yeah, we gotta get this down to Texas Instruments. Yeehaw! I remember that episode.
Yeah.
Good one. I like that one. And George Clundog.
Yeah.
Hey, did we have any repeat? So, Sophia Boutella was in this movie for a second time.
Yeah, the Mumsy.
The Mumsy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was our first Michael Shannon or Michael B. Jordan movie that I can think of. Michael Shannon is in a lot of bad
really
movies.
Feel like Michael Shannon must have come across our...
But I can't think of one.
I like Michael Shannon.
I love him.
I'd remember him.
I like Michael B. Jordan, too.
Yeah.
But they...
Michael
I think first-timers. Yeah. Welcome to the club, boys.
You guys saw Fantastic Four on Sidekicks Pod.
We did.
Yes, we did.
But not on this thing.
That's
Has Michael Shannon ever dealt with a sky laser in any of his movies? I can't think of one.
I don't know. I'll have to look him up on the sky laser database.
In that one movie where he's helping the alien boy, it's kind of like a sky laser.
Helping the alien boy.
Is that what we're calling
it
now?
Is it called The Help?
Pretty sure it's Shape of Water.
I'll tell you what the name of that movie is. Daniel, what are you plugging?
Oh, I'm plugging Sidekicks Pod.
Woo!
I got a bunch of shows and stuff. If you want to know when, give me a tweet.
Tell Daniel you want to know.
And hell, I'll comp you in.
Whoa.
Midnight Special is the movie.
Also, he was in Batman vs. Superman. Which has
we
got to have
on this. Yeah. I didn't watch it on this.
And he was in Man of Steel, which definitely has a sky laser in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He has dealt with sky lasers. Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Michael Shannon.
He's also dealt with that chin goatee.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, boy. Now I'm trying to think, well, has Sophia Boutella dealt with a sky laser? I don't think there was one in The Mummy, but she probably has in another movie.
I bet there was one in The Mummy.
Could have been. Oh, great. Everybody go see Daniel's shows.
Yeah. How about you, Jacob?
You know, I actually don't have a whole lot to plug. I'll just do the normal go listen to the Decades podcast. We just released, as we're recording this, we just released the episode for, I think, A Face in the Crowd. I don't know. We did really some good episodes lately. We're trying to release a bunch of them faster, so we'll be caught up, because we kind of got behind.
That'll happen.
Yes. But, yeah, we're still recording those. They're pretty good. The movies we've been watching as we're getting forward in time are more interesting.
Nice.
The movie we watched last time, Salt of the Earth, was really good.
Mm.
It was surprisingly good. Go see, watch that movie. It's for free on Amazon Prime.
Mm.
I have that.
Yeah.
I have that.
It's a very old movie, but it was super good.
Okay.
Mm.
That's what I got to plug.
Sweet.
Tweet at us. Follow our Instagram if you want to figure out what movies we're watching before we post episodes.
We've actually been consistent with that.
Though I have, there's a few I was going to post and wasn't able to because my Instagram's been freaking out.
I don't know.
It's not uploading movies.
Zuckerberg.
So you haven't seen The Bagheaded Boy yet.
Oh no. You didn't see The Bagheaded Boy?
Yeah, no Bagheaded Boy yet, but hopefully I'll figure out a way to post that to the internet.
Send it to me?
So. I could do that.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah. Okay.
You all have seen The Bagheaded Boy by the time you hear this podcast.
Yeah, Third X Saviors on Instagram, Third X Saviors on Twitter.
And Gmail, and Twitter.
And go to that iTunes and give it the whole 5-star, and boy howdy, I sure do like this podcast.
Jeb, give us 5 stars.
Oh, yeah.
Jeb, we're calling you out because we hear you like us.
And Jeb's my friend that was like, hey, I like your show.
Thank you, Jeb.
I like your show. Well, give us 5 stars, Jeb.
Thank you for being our fan. Now let us make fun of you some more. Daniel?
Jeb, you got a weird voice.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's me, Mr. Bell.
Oh, no, Daniel's going to be mean to me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, Jeb, if you still like the show, give us 5 stars.
Yeah,
thanks, bud.
All right.
And we will talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Keep it real, meow-mees.
Keep it real, meow-mees.
Yarsqueet.